Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Gimel. And we begin at the very top with the Gemara. First line, first word. We learned yesterday in the Mishnah that there are certain types of garments, certain types of items that you're not allowed to let your animal go out with on Shabbos. So we said a chamor is not allowed to go out with a mardas. A mardas is a certain type of a warming blanket. They would put this on the animal. Donkeys are always cold, we said, and therefore they'd keep this on the donkey. And this was permitted. But we said in the Mishnah, bizman shehik shura, only when it's tied. Now the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, again, very top, Nun Gimel Lamed Aleph, Shmuel defines or qualifies the Mishnah that you're allowed to go out with this mardas, this warming blanket on your donkey. He says it's only allowed v'hu shekshura lo me'erev Shabbos, that this warming blanket, this mardas, had to be tied to the animal before Shabbos started. You can't put it on Shabbos. You can only have it if it's tied on before Shabbos. Tosus over here says, Rashi elsewhere, a little bit later on, tells us, Lekaban, the Bikshur Me'erev Shabbos, Hevi Malbo Shechamor. Because if you tie it on before Shabbos, you're demonstrating that this is the normal clothing, so to say, the normal garment that a chamor is wearing. However, Avo Be'ene Kishur Me'erev Shabbos, if you don't tie it on Erev Shabbos, so then, Hevi Masu, you're not demonstrating that it's a normal garment for the animal, but it's a load that the animal is carrying, and that the animal is not allowed to do work for you. It looks like it's doing work for you. Furthermore, he says, "V'od Yeshel Farish." An alternative opinion is the Be'ena Kshura Me'erev Shabbos. If you don't tie it on an Erev Shabbos, it looks like Merzei Kimiskaven Lo Tzos Amardas. Since it wasn't tied on before Shabbos, so now when you're putting it on the animal on Shabbos, it looks like the purpose that you're putting on the animal is to carry it someplace, and that you're not allowed to do. Alternatively, brings down for the Rabbeinu Pores. Or alternatively, it looks like you want to take the animal on a trip. You're taking the animal beyond the tchum, and therefore it's not allowed. So for all of these reasons, Shmuel qualifies the Mishnah and says that the only way you can have the donkey wearing the mardas is if it's tied on before Shabbos. If it's not tied on, we're concerned that it's going to fall off and you're going to come to carry it dalet amos. So you have to tie it on. But even when you tie it on, it must be tied on before Shabbos and not on Shabbos. You're never allowed to tie on Shabbos, so what's the question over here? So the answer is, you are allowed to make certain knots on Shabbos that are permissible. So we're talking here that you would tie it on in a permissible way on Shabbos, but even that's not allowed because of the concerns that Shmuel raised. Fine, that's Shmuel's statement. And Omer of Nachman, he says, Masnisin Nami Daika. Our Mishnah, now it's really not our Mishnah, Rashi points out it's the next Mishnah, but again, the Mishnayis are often separated in the Gemara, but in the Mishnayis, they're actually together, so it's really still our Mishnah. And it says there, Beferish, in the Andaf Mem Dalet, Nun Dalet, it tells us that Tani ein chamor yotzi b'mardas v'zman she'ena kashur lo. It says b'feirish that the donkey is not allowed to go out unless it is tied. The mardas is tied onto it because, again, the concern would be that you're going to go and carry it dalet amos if it falls off. So now, what are we talking about over there? Hechidami. If you're talking to about that it's not tied at all, so then pshita, of course, because dilma noflale vasi lasuye, because the concern is obvious then that it may fall off and the person will unwittingly carry it dalet amos or sarab before he realizes or remembers that it's Shabbos, and that's an issa daraisa. So therefore, that can't be what it's talking about. That's obvious. Elalav, mustn't that Mishnah be talking about she'ena kshura me'erev Shabbos? You're not even allowed to go out with it, even if it was kshura on Shabbos. Only if it was kshura on Erev Shabbos are you allowed to go out with it. Implying me'erev Shabbos, michlal d'reisha, our Mishnah, she'kshura lo me'erev Shabbos, is what it's referring to, shema mina. Therefore, the bottom line is, Shmuel explains our Mishnah and the next Mishnah that you're only allowed to go out with the mardas if it was tied, and when did it have to be tied? It had to be tied on Erev Shabbos. And we have the Braisa Tosefta in support of this. Tanina Mihochi, Chamor Yotze Bimardas, the Chamor is allowed to go out with this warming blanket, Bizman Shekshurlo Me'erev Shabbos. It's only allowed to go if it's warm, if it's tied on Erev Shabbos. And the Loba Ukaf, no, an Ukaf is a saddle. So there, the donkey's not allowed to go out with its saddle, Afopik Shushulo Me'erev Shabbos. Even though it's tied on an Erev Shabbos, it's not allowed to go out with a saddle. The saddle doesn't serve any purpose for the animal, and therefore, you're not allowed to have it on the animal. It's a masui on the animal. It's the animal's carrying the saddle. Now, this is true, even though Afopik Shushulo Me'erev Shabbos. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Bi'ukov. No, you can put a saddle on a donkey, bizman shekshura lo me'erev Shabbos, as long as it's on the donkey from Erev Shabbos. It also will supply some warmth to the donkey, and therefore you're allowed to do this. Again, the concern is that it must be tied down, because otherwise you may come to carry it down Lam Sushu Sarabim. But you're not allowed to go and do this on Shabbos. You have to do this on Erev Shabbos. Again, not because of the problem of the tying, but because of the concern that it looks like, for all the reasons that you can't have the mardas, you can't have the ukaf on the animal as well, like we brought down in the top tosos. Then he qualifies it a little bit more. Ubuvad, when you're putting the ukaf on the animal, and you're using it to warm the animal, but you're still not allowed to do this when you tie it, but you're not allowed to tie it in a certain way. Ubuvad shalo yikshalo pasrichin, and ubuvad shalo yivshalo ritsua tacha zinovo. Rashi says over here that these are this masrichin over here and this ritsua are serving a purpose to prevent the animal's saddle from sliding up or down on the animal. When the animal is going up the hill, it naturally, the saddle is going to slide back on the animal. So they would tie this masrichin to keep the saddle higher up on the animal. And this problem over here with these is it looks like you're putting packages, or you're going to go and use the saddle for carrying purposes, and therefore you're not allowed to do this. And the same thing, the Ritsua Tachas Novo, Sirach says when the animal is going downhill, so then the saddle is going to tend to slide forward. So you're not allowed to tie it back so it stays in its place. Again, because in this situation, it looks like you want the saddle in a certain place, not to warm the animal, but to go and carry stuff for the animal, and therefore it's not allowed. Fine. Gemara says, "Boy, minei Rav Asi bar Noson mi Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi." So Rav Asi asks over here to Rav Chiya. Now, "Mahu litein mardas al gabi chamor b'Shabbos?" Can you put a mardas on a donkey on Shabbos? Now, here we're not talking about carrying it out into the yard, so there's no concern of the animal having a masri over here. We're just talking about, can you go and have the animal to put this mardas on it to warm it up? The animal's cold. That's why she says, Sarihi, it's painful for the animal to be cold. So Amale, Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi responds back to Rav Asi bar Rav Nosson, and he says, Mutter, it is permitted over here because it is painful for the animal. Hilkach urcha b'hochi, this is the normal way to keep the donkey warm, v'lav masu, and it doesn't look like you're doing this to carry. And there's no concern it's going to fall off, Dalet Amos, even though it's not tied because you're not going into Rishus HaRabin. Then he asked him, Amale, how come you're allowed to put the mardas on, but you're not allowed to put the ukaf on? Why should there be a difference between the mardas, which is to warm the animal, and the ukaf, which is to warm the animal? However, when Rav Chiya bar Rashi heard this question, ishtik, he didn't give an answer. Now, why didn't he give an answer? So Rav Asi, who was the one who asked the question, Rashi explains thought, kisavur, hodi ishtik, the fact that Rav Chiya bar Rashi didn't answer him, he assumed, mishum delo ashkach be, the sofar ukaf namishari. Because the questioner, Rav Asi, said that you can't put an ukaf on. And for the fact that he was ishtik, he assumed that Rav Chiya bar Rashi's position was that you can put the ukaf on. And therefore, we question that opinion. Esve. We ask now, ukaf shagabi chamor, a saddle that's already on a donkey, so you're not allowed to go and move it, biyado, lo yitleno, italtileno biyado, elamulicha, you bring the donkey to a place where you can just have the saddle drop off, umevio b'chotzer, into your yard, fudofa me'elev, and then the saddle will be in your yard, safe, and you didn't touch it with your hands, because you're not allowed to go and take the saddle off. Now, hashta, he says, lito amris, lo, to go and take the saddle off, you're not allowed to do it, so is there any question that you're not allowed to go put the saddle on it? You can't even take it off. You certainly can't put it on. So how could you suggest that there's no difference between a mardas and an ukaf? You're saying he thought when he was silent that he held that the ukaf is allowed to be put on. So he questioned him. Rav Asi questions Rav Chiya, and he says, how can you say that you're allowed to go and put the saddle on? You're not even allowed to take it off. So Amalei Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira responds to him and says, Shafke, leave him alone. Leave Rav Chiya bar Rashi alone, because Kirabe Sirle, he holds like his Rebbe Rav. Why? The Amar Rav Chiya bar Rashi, Amar Rav, because we have a favorite statement. The Rav Chiya bar Rashi said, bar Rav Ashi, I don't know why it doesn't say Rav Ashi over here. Before it was Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi. So here Mestama should be also the Rav Chiya bar Rav Ashi Amar. And he said in the name of Rav, Amar Rav, Tolin Traskal. The Girsa we have is Traskal. It says on the side, in the Girsa of the Aruch, it should be Krastal. In any event, this is like a feeding bag that you tie around the neck of the animal, so the animal has ease to go and eat from this feeding bag. And so Rav had said that you are allowed to tie this Traskal Lebehema B'Shabbos. And he says, V'kabuchom L'mardas. If you can do this, you can certainly do the Mardas. Why are you allowed to do this? Ma'ahosom D'mishum Tainog Shari. It makes it a little bit easier for the animal to eat by having the feeding bag around its neck. It's not essential. It could bend down and pick the grass up from the floor. It could graze, but it's easier if it's just standing upright. It doesn't have to bend its neck. So therefore, that's tainug. They'll say that's to make the animal's life easier, but not to prevent pain. So tainug is shari. So therefore, hocham yishuv ditzar, lo kol shekein. So certainly, because of pain, i.e. the animal's cold, of course you can put the mardas on, and therefore, of course, you can put the ukaf on as well, because it prevents the coldness of the animal. That's Rav's opinion. That's why Rav Zeira told Rav Asi, leave Rav Chiya bar Ravashi alone, because he holds like his Rabbi Rav. That's why you're allowed to go put the mardas on. Shmuel Amar, Mardas Mutter, Traskal Osser. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says only the Mardas is allowed. The Traskal is Osser, because the Traskal is just Tanog. So you can't go and do something like this on Shabbos that will like make your life's animal more pleasant and easier. You're allowed to remove suffering. The animal's cold, you can put the blanket on. But you can't go and give it the Traskal. So Shmuel argues with Rav. Rav is more Mekel, Shmuel is more Machmir. Also, Rav Chiya bar Yosef, Omlish Maisa de Rav, Kamei de Shmuel. So, Rav Chiya bar Yosef learned by Rav, and then he told this member over to Shmuel that Rav said that you're allowed to put the Traskal on. And when Shmuel heard this, Amalei, Yehochem Abba, if Abba said this, now he called Rav Abba for a number of reasons that Mepharshim explained. Either his name was Abba, Rav's name was really Rav Abba, and since Shmuel was his chaver, so he called him by his first name, but most suggest over here that it was a title of respect. My father, the father. So, in other words, he was giving him the title. The Rav was the Gadol HaDor. Shmuel acknowledged that, and therefore called him Abba. Okay, whatever the reasoning is, he called him over here Abba. Rashi says another reason over here that it means like a king, Abba Malka. So, and that's another a very positive way that he referred to him over here as the leader. In any event, he said a very harsh statement. He said, if that's the way the great Rav learned it, lo yoda v'mili d'shabata v'lo klum, then he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know Hilchos Shabbos. So again, Shmuel holds that in order to prevent pain, you're allowed to go and do something for the animal, but to make the life of the animal easier on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to do. It's a tircha yisera, it's extra work, you're not allowed to do it. Rav holds you are. Fine. He saw like Rav Zeira, when Rav Zeira was going back and forth from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so he would bring the Divrei Torah back from each place. So here he's going back to Eretz Yisrael. So he saw like Rav Zeira went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Ashechil Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes. He met up on his way back, going back to Eretz Yisrael with Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes. And he heard that Rav Binyamin Bar Yefes was saying, the Yosef Ikam Alei Mishmei de Rav Yochanan, was saying over the name of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was the God in Eretz Yisrael. Notes in Mardas Agabi Chamor B'Shabbos, that you're allowed to go put this Mardas on the Chamor on Shabbos. When Rav Zeira heard this, so he said, oh, very good. Amalei Yashar, Yashakayach, very good. V'chein Tirgumo Aryoch B'Vavol. So too did the Aryoch say in Bavel, like you, that you're allowed to put the Mardas on the donkey. Who's Aryoch? Aryoch Manu Shmuel. Shmuel's referred to as Aryoch. Now, Aryoch is a title of respect. Rashi explains over here, and there is no Dibur HaMaskel over here. It's after the Dibur HaMaskel Abba. It's missing the Dibur HaMaskel of Aryoch. In any event, says Shmuel Kari Aryoch, Hashem Shoya Baki Bedinin. He was very, very expert in Hilchos of Dinim, of Mamanos. That's why you're pasking like Shmuel over Rav in regards to Hilchos Mamanos. The Shofei Kemelech HaShofei Al Aretz. And he was like a judge, like a king that was ruling over the land. And therefore, this Lashon of Recha, of Avrich, means Melech. Now, on the side, he brings down over here, Pirush Rashi, Hashem Aryoch Melech Elasar. And that's what Tosa says as well over here, that this is one of the kings from the famous Battle of Kedor LaOmer in Parshas Lech Lecha, and therefore he is referred to as the king, like Aryoch Melech Elasar. And this is, again, a reference over here. Aryoch is like a Gur Arya Yehuda, which is the Yehuda, is the leader of Kai Yisrael, L'Hochi Kor L'Shmuel Aryoch, the kind of L'Hilchus of K'Shmuel Bedina. Like we said, that we pass it like Shmuel over here. Brings down an interesting mnemonic over here. It says we paskin over here like Shmuel because he's Aryoch Melech Elasar. Elasar means al esar, which means klomer chutz mil'inyan isurim. We don't pasken like Shmuel in regards to chutz isurim. There we pasken like Rav. So this Haryoch is the king, however, melech al esar, but not for isurim. He's only the king for mamonos. In any event, Rav Zeira tells him to Rav Binyamin Yepes, shkayach, your statement of Rav Yochanan jives perfectly well with the statement of Shmuel. Wait a second, Moore says, well, Rav Nami Yomra. Rav also said that you're allowed to put the Mardas on, so why did he say the statement only jives with Shmuel, it jives with Rav as well? For Rav Nami Yomra, Ella Gemara says, Ella, you have to continue the conversation, Ella Shomei, Rav Zeira heard that Rav Binyamin Yepes said that you're allowed to put the Mardas on, however, you also heard him say, Dabi Messiah Bey, the Ain Tolan Traskel B'Shabbos, but you're not allowed to put the Traskel, the feeding bag, that you're not allowed to put on. And to that, Rav Zeira said to Rav Binyamin Yepes, I'm like, Yasher Koyach, very good, Yasher. The Chayin Tirgumar Ayok Bivavel. And this is, in fact, a shot of Shmuel, that you can't put the feeding bag on, not like Rav, and therefore Rav Yochanan over here, Paskins, like Shmuel. Tosus points out, but then this is a case of Yisurim, so we should paskin like Rav. How can we paskin over here like Shmuel? So Tosus points out very importantly that when Rav and Shmuel argue, so then we have the rule that we paskin like Rav by Yisurim and by Shmuel by Mamonos. But when Rav argues with Rav Yochanan, so then even though Rav was greater than Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara acknowledges that, nevertheless we paskin like Rav Yochanan over Rav and like over Shmuel, and even like both Rav and Shmuel, we often paskin like Rav Yochanan. So here, it's not Rav against Shmuel, it's Rav against Rav Yochanan, therefore the halacha is like Rav Yochanan. Gemara continues and says, what do you see from here at least? The Kuli Alma, Mias, Mardas, Mutter. Everybody, not only Rav, but even Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, all hold that put the Mardas on the donkey is Mutter. Now, we're still assuming right now that you're not allowed to put the saddle on. So how come you're allowed to put the Mardas, the warming blanket on, but Maishnoma Yukov, that you can't put the saddle on? So Gemara says, shiny hossam, it's different. The Evsho, the Nofumimela. So here we now are separating out putting the saddle on and taking the saddle off. That the reason why you're not allowed to take the saddle off is because the saddle can come off on its own. But that implies that you would be allowed to put the saddle on. It's just taking the saddle off. Since there's an alternative measure over here, therefore we don't allow you to go take the saddle off with your hand. That's teretz number one. Rapapa Mar, no, kan l'chamma, kan l'tzonina. There's a difference over here. When you're taking the saddle off, what are you doing for the animal? It was hot, so you're making it not so hot. That's really not tsar that the animal's having. When you're putting the warming blanket on, that's to warm the animal up. That is something that you need to do. That's pain. The animal's in pain. So the coldness is painful for the animal. The heat is not painful for the donkey. Why not? So the Gemara says, L'kan l'cham kan l'tzinina. L'chamma is l'tzara. When the animal's cold, it really has tzar. L'tzinina, but to cool the animal off, less late Sarah. It's really not so bothered by the fact that it's hot, and in fact, behind the Amri Inshi, that's why people say, Chamra feel but kufas Tammuz, Karira La. That a donkey, even in the hot summer month of Tammuz, is still cold. There are, for example, older people that they're in the summer, they're wearing a sweater. We look at them like they're crazy. Why are you wearing a sweater? It's 90 degrees, but they're cold. That's the way their body is. So to the donkey over here, it's always going to be cold. So don't tell me it's hot and the saddle is paining the animal. No, it doesn't mind being hot. And therefore, the removal of the saddle, while it may make the person a little bit, the donkey a little bit more comfortable, it's not in pain. And that's why to take the saddle off is not allowed. But to put the mardas on, that is allowed. So now we're assuming that anything that causes the animal pain, you can do, but something that is just to the benefit, the tanug of the animal, you're not allowed to do. Gemara questions this. It brings out a tosef, the meisve, the long tosef. Over here, we'll get to the point at the end of the tosef at the bottom of the amud. Lo yetzi asus bizonav shual. A horse is not allowed to go out with the zon of shul. Rashi explains over here that the zon of shul is tolun lo bein einav. You put this fox tail in between the animal's eyes. Shalolish lo bo. So that somehow there's no ayin hara that's going to be said about this horse. They don't fully understand this, but that's what the Gemara says. Then it says, lo b'zihirus shebein einav. On the side it says, loshon shezihirus. You can't put some sort of a ribbon over there for the beautification and the adornment of the animal. That you're not allowed to do also. Furthermore, lo yetzi azov b'kis shelo. Azov, a person who has a certain type of discharge, so he's not allowed to go out with some sort of a pouch around his gid, around his aver, around his genitalia, in order to catch the secretions of the ziva, to see, does he have secretions? Is going to have halacha lemaisa ramifications of Torah and Tara? Does he have two secretions, three secretions? Does he have to bring a carbon, not bring a carbon? So this has a valid knowledge need, but you're not allowed to wear this on Shabbos because it's not a normal garment to wear. It's carrying. And likewise, the goats can't go out with some sort of a pouch, a kiss, a pocket that's around their udders. The Rashi says over here, to collect the milk that would flow out of the udder, it's so filled. Alternatively, the udder is so filled that it's going to hang low on the animal and it's going to get slashed or cut on thorns because the udder is so filled with milk. In any event, you're not allowed to go out with this type of a kiss as well. Cows are not allowed to go out with a certain type of muzzle that it has in its mouth. Now, you're not allowed to muzzle an animal that's grazing, but when you're taking it from one field to another field, and you're passing it through somebody else's field, you're allowed to muzzle it. When you get to the field that it's grazing in, that it's working in, then you have to unmuzzle it. So you can't go out with this muzzle that's also carrying. Below Siyachim, the small baby horses, Mitraskalit, they're not allowed to go out with these feed bags over here, Shabbafiyim, in their mouths. Now, they're not allowed to do this into the Rishu Sarabim because it's carrying. Now, the reason we'll get to this in a moment is that these are going to make it easier for the horse, the baby horses, the sayachim, to go and feed. But it's only us over here in the Rishus HaRabim, implying that in the Rishus HaYachid, in Yechotzer, it is allowed. Even though it's a Tiruch HaYisera, but even though it's for Tanog, you're allowed to do this. This will be the Kasha on Shmuel. In any event, let's finish the brisa. The horse is not allowed to go out with its shoe. Now, this doesn't mean a horseshoe, because a horseshoe is tightly attached to the animal. There's no way it's going to come off. So this is some sort of a shoe that's not tightly attached to the animal to prevent the animal from, I guess, hurting its bottom of its foot. It doesn't have a horseshoe on, but it has some sort of a loose-fitting shoe that can come off. So you're not allowed to go out with it because we're afraid that it's going to come off, and you carry it down the line of Shushu Sarabim. Likewise, an amulet. So, even though this amulet is a proven amulet, it's not allowed to be worn over here. Now, the Gemara will discuss this on the Amud Bey, so we'll leave it for that discussion for a few moments from now. In any event, it says, this is a stringency that we have by the animal and not by the person. Now, it sounds like it's going on the kameya. The Gemara will say, no, it's going on the sandal. It's going on the shoe. A horse can't go out with a loose-fitting shoe, but a person can go out with a loose-fitting shoe. That's what it's going to ultimately mean over here. In any event, it then now tells us, your animal can go out with some sort of a bandage around the wound, because as Rashi points out, there's no chance you're going to pick that up, Dalaramos. It's schmutz. It's garbage if it falls off. So you'll leave it there on the floor. So therefore, there's no concern that you'll carry a Dalaramos or Shrabim. Likewise, Ubekishishin Sha'al Gabi Shever, with some sort of like a splint. These are wooden splints that you keep around the animal that has a broken bone to keep the bone in place and to allow the bone to heal properly. And again, Rashi points out, these are just plain pieces of wood. There's no value to them. If they fall off, you're not going to go and carry them. The dime a dozen, and you'll go get some other pieces of wood. So in any way, these you're allowed to go out with this bandage or these splints because there's no concern that you'll carry them down the Amos Rishos HaRabim. And if the animal has a low-lying placenta, the placenta is coming out of the animal, and the stomach just gave birth over here, and some of it's coming out, so you don't have to concern yourself that the animal can't go outside. You can still have that animal go outside. There's no concern that you'll come to carry it. The Gemara continues and says, "Upokikin lazug bitzavora." You're allowed to go and have it go out with a cowbell, as long as you make it that it can't make any noise. You have to plug up the bell part inside, the clanger inside, and it can go out with it. Umatayelasimo b'chotzer, and it's allowed to go with you in the chotzer, but not into Rishus HaRabim, because if it goes into Rishus HaRabim, it looks like you're going to sell the animal. And therefore, Rashi says, "Ba'oso zug b'chotzer avalotensi b'Rishus HaRabim." The Gemara will say later on, "The mechzik manda ozul lechinga." It looks like you're going to the market and you want to sell the animal. No. Now we finally get to the question. We finished the brisa. Ketani Mias. We said that the small horses, the baby horses, Lo Sayachin, Betraskalin, Shibifiem, Lushus HaRabim. They can't go out to Lushus HaRabim. Who the Lo Ba, the Chotzer, Shout the Dummy, but they can go to the Chotzer. Now, isn't that only for Tanok? So, my lab, Bigadolim, aren't we talking here about taller animals, taller baby horses, umishum tanok, and you're just making it a little bit easier and they don't have to bend down so much? So Gemara says, no, biktanim. We're talking here, lo, biktanim, umishum tsar. No, the ktanim, they actually are going to be in pain. Rashi says over here, arkavosei and gavon, their knees are very high compared to the rest of their body. It's a run cotton, and the necks are still short. Veshlam tsar, lo shuach al gabi akak lecho. And it's very painful for them to go bend down their neck, to go all the way down, because they have short necks, and they have long legs. And therefore, for this siach, it is considered tsar that you're removing it. That's why you could put the traskel on it. But for the larger animals, the bigger horses, so then you're not allowed to. That's purely for tanog. And the word says, I'll show you that this is correct pshat. umishum tsar, because daika nami, because look in the end of the brisa, the ktani, we turn to the Amud Beis, dumya the kameya, because it has the same, it's listed together with the kameya. Now the kameya actually says mishum choli. So obviously we're talking about things that are for refuah or medicinal purposes, so therefore this traskal over here is really to prevent tsar for medicinal purposes rather than just tanog purposes. Shmami, no, that's a good raya. So Shmuel is correct. We don't have a raya against Shmuel. Mark continues and tells us, now let's go back to this brisa and discuss it a little bit more and analyze it. Omar Mar, it says in the brisa, you're not allowed to go with an amulet over here on the animal, even though it was a professional amulet. It was made by a mumcha, a maven, and it works. So Gemara says, but we learned in a Mishnah, we'll learn it later on in the Masechta, that you're not allowed to carry out in the Shusha Rabbim a Kameya that's not made by a Mumcha. Ha, Mumcha Shaper Dami, but if it's made by a Mumcha, it's allowed. So therefore, why can't, if that's by a person, learning later on, so why can't, if a person can wear it out, why can't an animal wear it out? Gemara says, Ha, Chanami, Shena Mumcha. We're talking here, note that it's not made by Mumcha. Gemara says, that's not what it said. The Braisa said, it was a Mumcha amulet. Gemara says, Mumcha li Adam, vena Mumcha behema. It's good for an Adam, but it's not proven to be effective for a behema. Gemara says, really? Is there such a thing that it's a Mumcha, that it works for a human illness, but it won't work for animal illnesses? Gemara says, yeah, in. That's very common. Adam, the Islam Mazla, a person who has Mazel. What does that mean? So Rashi explains over here, in Dibra Maskil Masle, that there's a Malach Shlo, Umelis love, that we have, so to say, Hashkocha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervenes in our lives. So therefore, this Kameya over here can have power. However, Adam, the Islay Masle, Mesayele, Behemoth, the Lesley Masle, Mesayele, it doesn't work, so to say, on a supernatural basis. And there's nobody, so to say, interested in this donkey like there is somebody interested in the human, and therefore it won't work. Gemara says, so Yahachi, Maize Chomer Bebehema Mibi Adam. Rashi points out, if you're dealing over here then with a Kameya that works for an animal, the Behema Nami Nafku Bekameya Mumchal Behema, so then this is no different than did in by a person versus an animal. Both of them are only allowed to go out with a Kameya that works. You're right, a Kameya that works for a human being might not work for an animal automatically, but if you have a professional writer of Kameyas and he knows how to make a Kameya for an animal, so the animal can also go out with a Kameya. So Gemara says, there's no difference between a behemah and an adam. It's the same din applies. If it's a mumcha kameya for a yadam, you can go out with it. If it's not mumcha for an adam, you can't go out with it. And likewise, if it's mumcha kameya for an animal, you are allowed to go out with it. So then why are you telling me there's a chomer behemah mi adam? So as I pointed out before, mi sarvas a kameya koi, who says that was going on the kameya? It's not. The kameya, the adam, and the behemah are the exact same. If it's proven to work, you can go out with it. If it's not proven to work, you can't go out with it. However, it's going on the sandal koi, as I pointed out. A man can go out with a loose-fitting shoe. An animal can't go out with a loose-fitting shoe. That's why it's more chomer by a behemah than by an adam. Tashma, we continue learning. Sochin umefachas in liyodam. You're allowed to go and anoint. Rashi says with shemen. Umefachas in means on this like crusted wound that you have, you can go and anoint it. The ain sochin umefachas in the behemah. But you can't do this for a wound of an animal. Shmua says, my lav. Aren't we talking about over here the ika mako mishum tsar? The animal has tsar. It has a wound over here. So you see that for tsar, you're not allowed to go and do it. Someone says, lo, the gomar maka, that the maka has completed over here, that it's healed. Umishum tanog, and it's just comfortable. Sometimes you have a healing wound, it's comfortable to anoint it, to rub it. So therefore, it's for pure tanog, so that you're not allowed to do for the animal. That's a tircha yisera. That's extra work. You're not allowed to do this. Toshma, we try again. Certain type of illness. It sounds to me like it may be something like congestive heart failure, that there's too much blood. There's a surfeit of blood over here. The treatment was to put it into water to cool it down. So Adam Shachazodam Amidin also b'mayim b'shulshitistani. But a person who has this illness, you can put him in water to cool him down. That will help him. So you can do this for a person. You can't do this for an animal. So you see, for tzar, you're not allowed to do it for an animal. Kasha. Shmuel says Amaula Gzera Mishum Shkikas Laman. No, there's a gzera over here that you may, if you're doing this medicinal purpose, you may come. If the animal doesn't get better, you're going to end up grinding some herbs and making a medicine, and that's an issa daraisa. So therefore, we don't let you put the animal into the cold water because of the gzera of shrika samonim. Gemara says, wait a second, ihachi adam nami. Then a person likewise should be able to do this because of the gzera of shrika samonim, which of course is very true. We don't allow a person to take medicines on Shabbos unless he reaches a certain level of illness that is permitted because of the gzeir of shrika samamonim. So Gemara says, Ihachi Adam Nami. So Gemara says, no. We allow a person to go into cold water because Adam near a kameka, a man, he may be just cooling off. He doesn't know it's definitely doing it for medicinal purposes. Versus then the same thing should apply to a behema. Ihachi behema nami, near a kameka, the animal's going into the water, not to get rid of this ochas adam condition, but because just the animal likes to go into the water. Gemara says, no. A meka le behema. We don't find this concept that the animal goes in to pleasure. So therefore, if you're bringing the animal into the water, it's clear that you're doing it for medicinal purposes. And therefore, the rabbi said, Gezeira, if we allow this, you may come to go grind some money, and therefore you can't do this. So Gemara says, Ula behema mi gazrina, do we really make such a gzeira by the animals? Vatanya, haiso medes chutz l'tchom, we have an animal that's outside its tchom, so you're allowed to go kori law viba. And you're allowed to go call the animal and bring it back inside the tchom. But logos rinan, we don't say, dum osi lesuye. If you're allowed to go and call it, it doesn't come. Maybe you're going to go and lead it, and then you're going to go outside your tchom, and you're not allowed to do that. Ricky Vega says this, he doesn't understand the question. The first situation over here is shrikas zon is a din d'araisa, and this tchom is only a din d'rabbanan. How can you bring me a raya from a din d'rabbanan that we allow you to do the wimuk gzeira to a din d'araisa? So he's left with a tzarachin. In any event, it seems to say that we don't make a concern a gzeira over here. We allow you to go and call the animal. That you're going to come to pull the animal in, or you're going to go outside your tchum and get it. So Gemara says, Amar Ravina. Now, this vav doesn't belong here. It should be Amar Ravina. Ravina gives an answer. Can go and show you a tchum shelo, muva b'toch tchum shelo. Because there is no concern over here that you're going outside your tchum. The animal belongs to somebody else, and it has a different tchum. And therefore, you're able to go there. And therefore, there is no concern. Dilma osi le'asuya. That you're going to go outside your tchum. That's why it's allowed over there. So the bottom line is, we have this concept of a gzeira over here that shrika sammonim, we're concerned over here by the animal, you're not allowed to do certain things to treat the animal because of the gzeira of shrika sammonim. So now, along comes with Nachum Bayitzuk, Amar shrika sammonim gufo tanoihi. This, in fact, is a machlokis tanoim. What is that? The Tanya. Behemo sha'ochla karshinin. You have an animal that ate something called karshinin. Karshinin is always translated as vetch, some sort of an animal food. So this makes the animal sometimes constipated and makes the animal not feel well. You're not allowed on Shabbos. Lo yirit sena b'chotzer. You can't let it go run. You can't go take it to run in your yard because your purpose in doing so is b'shvil shetisrata, that it should get diarrhea, that it should be able to loosen up its bowels. So that's the opinion of the Tanakama, because if you do that, you may come to be grinding sammonim. So therefore, mishum shrika sammonim, we don't allow you to do that. So the Tanakama holds that we do have this gezeiro shrika sammonim. For Rabbi Shaya, that's the girsa that we have on the side, it says it should be Rabbi Yoshia, matir, he allows you to do this. So this is exactly that machlokes tanoim over here. Can you or can you not make a gezeiro? Do we or do we not make a gezeiro over here for shrika sammonim for the animals? Darash Rava, Rava paskind over here, halacha kirev, Oshaya is the girsa that we have it on the side, it says the girsa should be Rabbi Yoshia. So that is how Rava paskind. Omar Mahar, now the Gemara quotes what we said previously, Lo Yetzi Azov Bikishlo. This is the continuation of the quoting from the Tosefta, that we said Azov is not allowed to go out with some sort of a pouch around his Aver that collects the discharge that comes out, and this way a person can know that he have a discharge 2 days in a row, 2 days, two times, three times, and this way does he meet the criteria for Azov Godol, or Azov Godol with a carbon or not. In any event, you're not allowed to do that. Furthermore, because that's not considered a garment for you, that's considered something that you're carrying. Likewise, below izim bekish shibadadeim, the goats aren't allowed to go out with some sort of a pouch, some sort of a collecting garment around their udders, and that's what we quoted. But Vatanya, it says in another brisa, yotzos izim bekish shibadadeim. Another brisa says the opposite; they are allowed to. So the two brises are in conflict. So the simple teretz is that it's a machlokes, but we don't want to give that answer. Tosa says over here, Rabbi Huda, you're the shapid tanoihi. He knew that there was a machlokes tanoim over here, but he wanted to resolve it without having to say it's a machlokes tanoim over here, because these are two stam mishnayis over here. It doesn't say names by either of them. So Tosus explains in the little second Tosus tanoihi, he says, the nichole lakume tre stome de brisa aliba de chatana. He would prefer to have these two stam brises over here going according to the same tana. So even though he knows there's a machlokes tanoim on this, that would have been the easy answer. We'll see others give that answer. Rabbi Huda didn't want to do that. So I'm Rabbi Huda. Lokasha, Yuda reconciles these two seemingly contradictory brises by saying, Ha the midhak, that which says you're allowed to, the second brise says, Yotzos isn't the kishibadadein. is when it's tightly tied. There's no concern that it's going to fall off, and Shema, it may come to carry it, Dalet Amos, Rishus HaRabin. And the one that says no, the first price that says no, you can't, so Hodelo Mirak, that's when it's not tied very tightly, it could fall off, and you're going to come to carry it, Dalet Amos. Let's teretz number one from the Amora Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef Omer, Rav Yosef gives a different teretz. He says, Tanai Shachlis Mi'alma. He said, Rav Yehuda, there are no other Tanaim in the world that you have to establish everything like one Tana. We already explained why Rav Yehuda tried to do that. But Rav Yosef says, simply Tanai. These are two different opinions over here. It's not, because we've already learned in the Mishnah, our Mishnah, he's in Yotzos Tzuros. Our Mishnah said the goats can go out with this Tzuros, these pouches around them. And Rav Yossi disagreed, Rav Yossi Oser. And he said, not only can't they go out Tzuros, he says, Behulon, all the ones that we said you could go out, the one only exception to the rule, according to Rav Yossi, is Chutz Mina Rechelos, the female sheep, the ewes, can go out with Kivunos. They can go out over here with a certain type of wrap around their wool. We'll learn about this in an upcoming Gemara. And that is the only exception to the rule, according to Rav Yossi. Rav Yehuda, he says, this is the Tana Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Izim Yotzu Tzuros. He agrees with the Tanakama that the goats can go out Tzuros with the bundling in a certain type of way. However, it's depending on the purpose. He says, Liyavesh, if it's to dry up the udder, in other words, to allow the animal to no longer produce milk, that's allowed, because that's Mstama tightly bound. But if it's only going for the purposes of collecting the milk, so that you're not allowed to go do. So we see it's a machlokas tanaim. He says, what are you worried about, Rav Yehuda the Amora? That you have to say both prices are in agreement with the same one, and one is mahadik, one is not mahadik. Rav Yosef says, no, this is a machlokas tanaim over here, and that's the easiest way to reconcile the two prices. Alternatively, both of the prices are the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, the Lokasha, but nevertheless, you can still reconcile them because it goes according to Rav Yehuda. Here we know for a fact that he was the opinion that said, sometimes yes, sometimes no. Liyaveh, if you're going to dry up the udders, then it's allowed. However, it's to collect the milk, Kan Lecholib, no. So that's what the two brises could simply be, just going according to the opinion of the Tana Rav Yehuda. Tanya, we have a brise that says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Maisa be'izim be'beis antuchya shiudadein gasos. One time there was a Maisa, the goats had very laden udders, and they were very enlarged. Basul and kisin, and they made over there some sort of a pouch, a protective covering, kadeshal yisutu dadeh, that they shouldn't be dragging on the ground. They get caught in all sorts of either scratches from wood or from the ground, and therefore that was allowed. Mistama, they did it tight enough that it wouldn't be concerned that it would come off. That was permitted according to Rav Yehuda. Tana Rabban, we continue. Maisa biyachot shemesu ishto. There once was a man, very strange story. Man, Rahman al-Islam, lost his wife. Behinicha ben Leonik, and maybe she died in childbirth, she died at a very young age, and she was still nursing. And Nebuch, he had a baby at home, and they couldn't just go to the store and buy formula. So what was he going to do? So they would hire a wet nurse in those days. So what would he do? V'lo hayolo schar minika, but he didn't have the money to pay for a wet nurse. Lite, to give to her the money. So what's he going to do? His poor baby's going to starve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace. V'nas lo nes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace. The niftichu lo dadin, kishnei dadi isha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him have what we would call gynecomastia. He had enlargement of his breasts, and this way he looked like a woman. He had two dadim, two breasts, and the heinik is beno. Now he was able to go and suckle his own child. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an ace over here that this man grew breasts in order to be able to nurse his child. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, wow, borei kama gadol odom zeh. What a great person this person must be, shenasel unes kazeh, that Hashem made a nes for such a person to happen. Amalei Abai says, what are you talking about? Adirabba, he's not such a great person. Now, obviously, Abai is not saying that he's not a great person, because nisim like this don't just happen for any Tom, Dick, and Harry. So it happened to this guy, so he's obviously a great person. However, Abai says, if he really, really was a great person, Hashem would have made the nes differently. And I'll tell you the story in a moment from Mordechai Hatzadik, from Purim. I'll tell a story about that in a moment. So in any event, Abai says, Adarabba. He says, Kamo Garua Odom Zeh. This person is not as great as you say he is. In fact, he's what he calls Garua. Now again, it's not meant to, I don't think, be disparaging over here. He's just saying he's not as great as you think he is. Shinishtanu lo sidre brachos, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a nace for him over here that's an abnormal nace. Right? Hashem didn't make him find $1 million. That would be a normal nace. Then he finds $1 million, he hires a wet nurse, and life goes on. Hashem made an abnormal nace over here that he grew breasts, enlarged his mammary tissue, and now he's able to nurse. That's an abnormal thing. And therefore, that's why he wasn't such a great person, because if he really had been a great person, Hashem would have made it that he could nurse his child in a normal way. And that's what it says on the side. If you look in the Tosfos Yeshanim, it brings down from the Bereishis Rabba. Some of the Gemaras, they're missing some of the letters over here. It should be Bereishis Rabba. And on the Pasuk, Vahi Omein Es Hadassah, when it says that Mordechai raised Hadassah, so again, a nes occurred over there. The Medrash says that Mordechai nursed Esther. What does that mean, he nursed her? That she suckled from him. He was the wet nurse for Esther after Esther lost her parents. So therefore, how come that's not considered that Mordechai is Garua? So some of the Mefarshim explain, no. In that situation, you know what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make Mordechai grow mammary tissue. He just let him nurse the baby with his regular normal male tissue. And therefore, there was nothing abnormal. It wasn't strange. And therefore, that's the way the Nes is done in the most optimal way for Mordechai Tzaddik. Whereas this person over here, this Maisa Be'echot Shemesa Ishto, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make the Nes in a strange, very unusual form of a way, and that made it that he was a Garua. In any event, more continues, says Amar Yehuda, Borei Kama Koshim is Onosav Shel Adam. Look how hard it is for a person sometimes to make Parnosa. Shinishtanu Olav, say the Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go and change around the whole world. A man isn't supposed to have mammary tissue that's enlarged that can give forth milk. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the whole thing around. And Amar Rav Nachman answers this, and he says, Teda, the Mizrachesh Nisa, Hashem made a nace like this, below of Evro Mizoni, rather than giving him his owners. That's how hard, difficult it is sometimes. It says, Panos is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf. There are a couple of things that are considered very, very difficult. Not Chas V'Shalom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is difficult to doing anything, but the way the Bria set up, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world, that there are certain things that just don't come easily through Teva. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to go, so to say, break the Teva, and that is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like to do, and therefore it's a very difficult thing for a person sometimes to make Parnosa. Nebuch, nowadays with COVID, so I don't think anybody needs to be told, with all the millions and millions of people on unemployment now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yirachem, that the economy should come back normal very soon. The Gemara continues and brings down another mice. We had one strange mice, so the Gemara brings down another strange mice. Turn about mice be'adam echad shenasa isha gidemes. A man once married a woman who was a gidemes, an amputee. She was missing one of her arms. Velo yikir ba. And he wasn't aware that his wife was missing an arm until the day that she died. That implies that he was aware on the day she died, which is an interesting question in a moment. In any event, the Gemara says, I'm a Rab, that's the gear, so we have on the side, it says it should be Rebbe. I'm a Rebbe, Bore Kamatsnua Isha Zu. Look how, what a tsnia stick a woman this woman was. Shlohikir Bobala. She was so tsnua that her husband never recognized that she was missing an arm because she was so tsnua. Amalo Rabbi Chia tells Rabbi, Zu darka bekach. This is the way a Jewish woman acts. Of course, why are you surprised at that? That's the way every Jewish woman acts. But look, Elokam Tzenua Adam Zeh. What a man. That's unusual for a man to be so tzenua that he didn't notice Shlo Hikir B'Ishto, that he didn't see how his wife was missing an arm, that he didn't look at her, he didn't take such knowledge about his wife, even though he was living with her all these years, he didn't notice that. So the man is the greater tsanua here than all the women who are always tsanua. Now, that leads to an interesting question, as I alluded to. How did he know on the day that she died that she was, in fact, missing an arm? So the Ben Yoyada in his Sefer Binayahu brings down that the Chevra Kedisha said, what do you want us to do with her prosthesis? She had an arm that looked like an arm. They had a prosthesis of some sort, so the husband didn't notice, because otherwise it'd be impossible not to notice that his wife only has one arm. So she had some sort of a prosthesis, and the Chevra Kedisha asked him, what do you want us to do with the prosthesis? And that's how he knew that his wife had a prosthesis. The Yun Yaakov gives a different terrace. He said, one of the people, sometimes people when they go to pay a shiva call, they say horrible things. And one of the people said, it's Nishka Fairlip that your wife died. She only had one arm. And that's why it's not such a great loss. So that's how he found out, according to the Yin Yaakov, that his wife only had one arm. In my Sefer, Women in the Talmud, I go through both of these two stories in a little bit more detail. I'll just add on one fact over here now, and that is that it says by Avram Avinu that he says, Ato yadati ki yisho yifas me'ot. He only knows now that Sarah was such a beautiful woman. How did he not know beforehand? So the answer is that they were passing by a river and he saw their image in the river. Otherwise, he never really looked at her in that type of a way. But here he says, now I see that you're a beautiful woman, and we go into Mitzrayim, there's going to be trouble for us because they're going to notice that you're a beautiful woman too. That's the way a tzaddik, an Avram Avinu, the tzaddik that we had here in this story, That's their approach to physical, gashmias types of pleasures, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us and we're supposed to enjoy, but that's not the essence of a person, and that's not something that these great tzaddikim on their level even noticed. Gemara continues and says, Zcharim yotzim levuvim, the rams, they go out levuvim. What is levuvim? My levuvim. The Gemara says, Am Rav Huna tusri, it means they're tied up. Rashi says, Shemacharbin osom bekesher, shnaim shnaim shalei avrichu. They would tie two rams together, and this way they wouldn't be able to escape from where they were going. My mashmo the high levuvim lishna dekruvihu. How do you know that the word levuvim means that they were close together? They tied them together. So he brings down a pasuk from Shir Hashirim, the Chsiv, libatoni achosi kala. That my sister, you're my kala. He calls him your sister as a sign of love. You have captured my heart. Okay, ulamar. Or shekoshun lehem kineged libam. He says a different terrors. He says that they would tie some sort of a leather against their heart. Kadesh lo yiplu aleim zeivim. That the wolves shouldn't go and attack them. So where it says zeivim aschorim nafle and a cable's lo nafle. But the males only needed this leather because the wolves only attack the males. They don't attack the females. So where it says no, they only attack the males. Mishum the masku bereish edra because the rams are traveling at the front of the herd and therefore that's where the wolves attack. Where it says zeivim bereish edra nafle besof edra lo nafle. But the zeivs, the wolves, they only attack the front of the herd. They don't attack the back of the herd. So again, why would you only put the protective leather on the rams and not on the females? So Gemara says, "Ela mishum dishmeine," because they're more bigger. They're shmeinim, and therefore the wolves see them as a more juicy target to attack. Gemara says, "Ubedekevos leko shmeini," and there are no women, there are no female rams over here, female ewes that are tasty to the wolves. Furthermore, v'su miyatehe ben hani lani. How can a wolf from a distance tell that that's a male or a female? It's just going to attack whichever one he wants to. So Gemara says, you're right. So then why do they only put on the males? Ela mishum dezakfe chutmayu, because the rams, they would walk with an arrogant type of a walk. Their heads would be up in the air, umasku kidovu, and they would be looking, so to say, at the wolves, and the wolves would take it as a personal affront. As Rashi says over here, mabitin kanvikan, the rams when they're walking would look, so to say, in each direction, and lafikoch miskanim behem, and the wolves would get, so to say, jealous of them, kisuvim shirotsim ulochabem, like the rams are going to start up with us, so we'll start up with them instead. Where it says Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar or Shekoshin Lem Tachas Zachruson, he says that this levuvim is over here a special type of a leather or hide that they would go and tie under their genital area. Kadesh Loyalu Alanakevos, it wouldn't allow them to go and mate with the female animals. Therefore, whatever the reason, the owners didn't want them to mate now with the females, and therefore this would prevent them from doing so. How do we know that this is what this word means? How do we know that this word over here, levuvim, means that this is the type of thing that would prevent the males from mating with the females? So he says it's in comparison, the Ketani Sefer, that it says in the next part, Varuchaylim, the ewes, Yotzo Shechuzos, they went out Shechuzos. Why Shechuzos? What does it mean, Shechuzos? She'ochez in ha'ayush lehen lamala, that here they would wrap something around it that would keep the tail up in the air, kidei she'alu aleim zuchorim, to facilitate the mating. So we see that this is something that either facilitates or it protects from mating. So that's why these two are listed together over here, this levuvon and the concept of the shechuzos. So they're both dealing with mating. One assists mating and one prevents mating. Reisha kidei shelo yalu on the kevos, the same for kidei sheyalu aleihem zecharim. So again, they're connected over here, and therefore one goes along with the other. Gemara says, my mashma da'ai shechuzos lishno de galuyihu. How do we know that this tail being kept up in the air and revealing the area of the female sheep where it would mate? How do we know that this is a lashon that shows this revealing? So that's it, because the pasuk says, "Vinei isha likraso shis zona benitzoris slave." So this is an expression that's used by a zona, as Rashi says. This shis zona is nutrikin the shchuzos. So this word over here that they're revealed like a zona, and it's shis zona, shechuzos, so therefore that's what this term shechuzos means. It means revealed. With this, we conclude today's shir.